45 Not Out. This is the podcast for sassy women age 45 and above who are still serious about life, work and everything else really. They're nowhere near done yet. And so we're on to episode 17 and it's great to have you here. And if you're a returning listener, it's even more great. Thank you for remaining loyal and I hope that the topics we cover bring something to your life. And if you do like what you're hearing, a review and a subscribe would mean the world to us. Now, in this episode, I'm talking to Mark Elliott. Mark is a business coach, educator, and entrepreneur. He's co-founder of the organisation Startup School for Seniors, which specialises in coaching people in midlife and older how to start up successful businesses. Having been a serial entrepreneur himself, Mark brings truckloads of experience and advice to the table, and he really is the best person to be dishing out advice on this subject. The conversation with Mark is peppered with tons of practical advice, things such as how to angle applications for funding, through to being realistic about social media, and that it isn't really the golden egg to finding new customers easily, as much as the media would lead you to believe that it is. Our conversation is just short of 50 minutes long, and it's worth staying with it because throughout, Mark reveals nuggets of information that are pure gold for anyone over 45, whether that's man or women, who are wanting to set up a business. But enough from me. Here's Mark selflessly releasing his pearls of wisdom to the world. Enjoy. Hi there. Welcome to episode 17 of the 45 Not Out podcast. And this time, I'm delighted to say I've got Mark Elliott with me. Now, Mark has started up the business Startup School for Seniors. Now, that's an intriguing title, Mark. Spill the beans. Tell me all about it.
Well, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, actually, because seniors we define as being over 55. And actually, who feels old at 55? So it's a bit of a joke that we're not actually seniors, and actually we're proving that we can do it just as well as the younger people. But Startup School for Seniors is an eight-week programme for people over 50 who want to start their own business or thinking of starting their own business. And we're an online only program delivered by video with a lovely cohort of people and lots of stuff, and we have lots of fun. That's always really good.
I can imagine. Now, you mentioned it's a six-week program.
It's an eight-week program.
Okay, so What can people expect within that then, Mark? Presumably you're getting people from all walks of life. So are you starting at brass tacks or, you know?
So every week we have a theme, and that might be from why are you doing this, Una? to where are your customers? Or that legal stuff or money actually matters. Or, is this for me? Why can I do something different? So we take a theme and we have some material and we have some conversation with experts and also with other founders who are slightly older, who spill the beans on what it was like to start up at that time in life and what it's like to be a business owner or to be self-employed. So that we share all the lessons that we have. We also have a lovely group, which is an exploration and collaboration group every Thursday, where people come together and I say have a natter, but actually what they do is they pitch their businesses as if there are customers in the room and they receive feedback. And we find people who can work together or work alongside each other, or have themes like food-based businesses or health and safety businesses, whether they can cooperate together and learn more about their particular customer base. And we also, of course, have a closed Facebook group so that people swap messages, and we allow people to follow their own status from our platform. They can tell us how they're getting on and follow their own progress through the 8 weeks. And even, you know, after the 8 weeks finished, we also have an alumni group so that when everybody finishes the course, then we get together once a month and again have a natter and ask whether there are things that people can help with or what their offer is. So we're quite a lovely community, and I'm a bloke saying that.
Say, Mark, it sounds very comprehensive, firstly. Secondly, I can imagine going through all that. I bet your students, contributors, clients, I'm not sure what you call them, I would imagine it's extremely bonding and they're a very tight group.
They are a very tight group, and our new business owners are often overawed by the amount of information there is about starting their own business. It's quite funny. Everybody comes in from different places. We started in October 2020. And in October 2020, we had people who had been bereaved through COVID earlier in the year. We had people who'd lost their jobs or were in fear of losing their jobs. We had people who were already unemployed. And we had people who had started a business, but for some reason, it wasn't working for them. And the average income of those people was less than £400 a month. Oof. So it shows that people came from lots of different places. And, you know, I forgot those people who had, just finished care and responsibilities. Now, whether that is children going off to university or whether that is elderly parents passing away or moving into care homes or grandchildren being of an age to go to school, then when we get older, we have more complex lives. So we make sure in startup school that people can actually go at their own pace and that they can come back to material and redo it, rewatch it, have another go at the workbooks we provide so that it's not a, I've lost my job. I need to start a business now. Mm. Yes, it does feel like that. But when people can ease back into something or ease into a new business or, you know, that hobby that people said they always liked, those candles, how to make that into a proper business that can produce profit and that people are in control of producing that profit as well.
That sounds fabulous, Mark. And as I say, I can see tons of value there. And I bet, well, obviously you can't tell us some of the tales because obviously you've got a duty of care there with your clients. But just I can see why you've done that, Mark, because I think with the demographics in terms of people starting up businesses, I think I'm right in saying that it's the midlife population that is the biggest demographic. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. People over between 45 and 54 are the largest group of people starting their businesses, followed by people 55 to 64, and then people from 35 to 44. And some of the older demographic and starting a business is about being self-employed, because that also counts as being starting your own business if you're employed by yourself and only have one client. So in the new world of work, in this new gig based portfolio life, then if you work for two employers, then you're your own business. So that's why a lot of those figures are actually people who've been forced out of their own companies, forced out of the company they've been working in, and have found they need or want two or more clients. They class as a business and as self-employed as well. So whilst there is a positive motion towards people over 45 starting their own business, there is also this this nasty little pyramid thing where as we get older, people get forced out of their careers. Oh my goodness, I've just noticed, Una, you're a woman. And as a woman, you'll know that you're not alone in feeling that business has shut you out, and that you, if only you had done something miraculous earlier, then you would have kept this career job. But I find that both in my private business coaching practice as well as in startup school, that we have a lot more women who, for no want or fault of their own, are in this situation and need to make it work. And so what we do at startup school is try and make sure they can enjoy what it is that they're doing, as well as meet this need, this financial need thing, which some people call a salary. But for self-employed, it's just, how do I get money and how do I find clients that will pay me that I don't need to spend too much money on?
So with that in mind then, Mark, there will be, hopefully listening, hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, in, well, certainly tens of thousands nationally, in that situation whereby they've had a stunning career, they've gone through, COVID hit, and maybe even pre-COVID, it was part of company, well, I won't say policy, but maybe sort of their department strategy, that because Julie, shall we say, Jane, whatever, was getting over the hill, 45 possibly, and you know, sort of, oh yeah, we one thing, we can get rid of her because we can pay somebody at least a third less, if not 50% less. Number two, we can probably have somebody who maybe a bit more flexible, which we can try and you know, sort of get them to work longer hours and all the rest of it. So I think, long way round, Mark, but I think what I'm getting to is, if there's somebody in that situation, what's the one first thing that you would advise them, whether it's male or female, that have been inched out and they find themselves in this situation, as you say, quickly need to bring money in, and because of the situation at the minute, opening a business is probably the best thing that they can do. What would be your one piece, first piece of advice?
A deep breath and find potential customers and talk to them. Talk to them about their lives, their need, their aspirations, and listen.
When you say listen, Mark, sorry to interrupt, when you say listen, do you mean that, do that digitally, email, or, I mean, we can't do networking events anymore, can we? But, you know, sort of, is there one medium that you would suggest more than others?
So I do say listen, and I do say networking events. So I say go out to have one-to-one conversations with potential clients. Now, a lot of people, their potential clients are within their network, even when they are still in a job. Many people will, especially in their 40s, will be looking at carrying on the momentum from their career, but setting up their own business because they know their onions. It's just that somebody's taken the sack away from under their feet, to continue the farming analogy. So to go and talk to people who they could serve and service with their skills and expertise, and to listen about how they're finding the industry, how they're finding the particular service, how do they look and look for new suppliers, etc. So some people may have that, and now it takes guts, it takes courage to go out and talk to people when you're in danger of losing a job, or when you feel humiliated by having your post be made redundant, or whatever they want to call it, or by feeling that you are no longer needed by the company for whom you've spent a lot of your time and energy. It takes a big breath to get over that. So go talk to your sister, go talk to friends, and take that breath and just do it. Okay.
And presumably as well, if you feel the need, that there's always organisations like yourself that can hold the hand and give them the expert, probably fill in. There will be areas that they probably are expert in and won't need help, but there will be areas that they will need the input of somebody who's been there. And obviously that's where yourself and others come in. Just one thing you said about that's talking about ageism in corporate life. Just with the people that you've worked with that have set up businesses and they started on the journey of you know, startups and scaling up and that kind of thing. Has there been any ageism that you've witnessed working with your clients?
Yes, I confess. Yes, I would say of course, but that's not quite true. The most dramatic ageism that I've come across is around funding, equity funding. So some businesses need external funding, for example, product businesses or businesses that are looking to scale. And I gave a speech recently at the World Funding Council around finding funding over 50. And it was one of the most energetic discussions that they had at the 3-day global forum, because some people don't believe it exists, but I've sat on interview panels and funding panels where people have been quite open about their disbelief whether people are still going to be with us by the time the funding comes to fruition, or questioning whether somebody in good health has the energy to found a business. Or I had one, and it's this experience is going to stay with me forever because I'm a stronger man now. I had one where somebody had come in with an innovative idea about how to help women through the menopause, and the funding committee couldn't see the issue. Okay, yes, I'm ashamed. However, I've sat in far too many funding committees, casual pieces of ageism and sexism and racism are masked as particularly challenging questions to a woman or somebody who's older or somebody who's black about their business idea, whereas a younger, elite educated, wealthy white man may not have been challenged in that same way. So particularly ageism around funding. Having said that, I've worked on a number of programs in my life, and I've seen older founders fall off the program. No, not be as successful in the program because our business support in this country is built around the concept of younger people. It's built with an assumption that you have this certain life experience, you have this certain flexibility, you have this certain access to parental finance, that you have all of this. And it's the programs are designed like that, so that if you have the education, if you have the support, if you understand the language, if you have a certain life experience, then you will be successful. And people who don't have, say, that confidence about social media, then they lack the language to rebut the need for social media. Everybody needs social media. Well, actually, do they? And what is social media? And who do they address their customers through? That might be traditional means, that might be LinkedIn, it might be talking to them, it might be an association with something else. But older people haven't grown up with multiple devices and therefore come from a different position. So perhaps there are different things that they need in order to gain confidence about starting up a business. Whereas the younger people, because it's made for them, then there is an assumption about what they're going to need to learn and what they don't. And therefore, terminology and confidence in using terminology is really important when we get older. And you mentioned programs and groups and stuff. And, you know, finding somebody else as a minimum who is going through kind of the thing that you're going through is really, really useful. I belong to a community in South Africa. Oh yeah, I forget, I'm based here in West London, but I belong to a community of freelancers in South Africa. How did I bump into this? Well, their founder came to ask for some coaching from me. And I gave some coaching, and during the pandemic, she was stuck in South Africa. So she had to form her freelance community in South Africa. So I'm now part of a freelance community in South Africa, and I pop in and talk to people every now and then. And that is really supportive for me as an individual moving forward. So find your tribe, find people like that and people like you. And programs like Startup School for Seniors, for example, or any of your local programs. And in England, local enterprise partnerships are everywhere. And so that's local enterprise partnerships, Google that. And in Scotland, there's a similar scheme. And in Wales, there's another one, Northern Ireland, less so. But there are local schemes to help you start up. Now, if they are one-to-ones, then do try and find a group. A group like listeners to this podcast, for example, you know, who can? You can just bounce things off. Is this normal that I'm paying £600 to an accountant? Answer, no. Who can you share those with? How can you check out whether the things you're finding? So find a tribe, find a community that includes people like you. And if your local program doesn't include people like you, learn on the program, but socialize in other groups to touch base with other people. Maybe it's other coaches, if you're learning to coach people about nutrition or well-being, or Maybe it's other startup accountants or health and safety executives or people who make candles. Find other groups in somewhere in the world, maybe even in your locality, and be as giving to them as they are to you, and together you're going to be stronger moving forward, be more successful.
Absolutely. You mentioned find groups, Mark. I mean, when you sort of mentioned that, what popped into my mind, and things like Facebook groups and things like that. Am I right in thinking that probably whatever you do, there will be a freelance group within that industry sector, or, you know, what's the best way to find them? Go on, sorry.
There's likely to be industry groups that you can find. Specific things for so-called professional careers, you might find groups referenced on LinkedIn. You might find group interest groups on Meetup. Now, I know that our lives are more complicated when we're over 40, and that I say caring responsibilities, but there are kids around. But evening meetups are an important way for industry segments to get together. Now, they're all online, ladies and gentlemen. They're all online. So that doesn't mean you need to travel and then come back and have to watch what you can do. So you can actually now go to these meetups wherever they are in the world and meet like-minded people, whereas before there's this whole trauma of having to dedicate a whole evening. How do I get back? How do I go? What are the kids going to have? Oh, does my other half know how to heat up pie? You know, you don't need all of those things. That actually online networking can be really effective in order to find people like yourselves in your industry or with your interest doing similar things.
Fab advice that, Mark, fab advice, thank you. And obviously you can tell that you're working with people, because obviously the life issues, the life problems are there. I would imagine there's a lot of listeners sort of recognising the issues that you're talking about there. But you mentioned sort of finding the funding, and there is plenty available, but am I right in thinking that a high degree of it is European funded, the ERDF, which I think stands for European Regional Development Fund?
Yep. So ERDF funding does continue to 2023. There are still programmes. For assistance, generally with advice as to money. Then there isn't, so I don't think there's a wash with money. So if you are claiming universal credit, then there's a new enterprise allowance, which is up to 2K to start your own business. But, and other than that, there may be local, regional or council grants to help you do something. If your idea it has a social purpose towards it, if there's something responsible or good about what you're doing, then there are funders such as Unlimited, that's UNLTD, and actually the National Lottery Heritage Fund, who provide small amounts of money, £1,000 or £2,000, in order to help you start up a business. I don't think life is awash with money. At the moment, as we stand in spring 2021, then a lot of the funding is bounce back COVID related. A lot of it is, so if you are starting a business, which is in some way building back your community, then you may find that your local council may give you some help and assistance towards that. Or if your community has in some way been badly damaged, who hasn't been badly damaged? If your community has in some way been specially damaged by the pandemic, then there may be other kinds of funds that are available. So you may not find funding for exactly what you're looking for, but if you have an open mind, you might be able to reframe what you plan to do in a way which meets somebody's idea of what they want. So your local council may want some community action. They may want local retail space to be used. They may want some community action. There may be a pub that needs to be taken into community hands. There may be some facilities that can be brought into some more community use. And there are organisations which can help with the funding of that, mostly lottery related. Also, the European Social Fund, the ESF, still has some community benefits. So you can find training, you can find programs. So if you're looking for, if you're really worried about bookkeeping, then you can find bookkeeping courses. If you're really worried, short bookkeeping courses. And if you're really worried about social media, then you can find short introduction to social media courses, which are paid for by European funds, or selling on Instagram. Oh, I should tell you, that really isn't very easy.
Have you had any experience of that, Mark?
Well, yes, absolutely. Selling my own. I don't play on Instagram. I've got an Instagram account, which is brilliant. No, it isn't. It's rubbish. But many people come in and think that they can sell on Instagram by having an account. And because we of our age haven't really grown up with social media in that way, we don't appreciate that we need 5,000 followers to sell particular amounts on Instagram. And, you know, if you gain 10 followers a week, it's kind of, I don't know how many years before you have enough followers. So people underestimate how long it's going to take them to sell via social media. So that's one of the key learnings about, oh, yes, I can sell on Instagram, can't I? Yes, you can, but it'll take you some time and a lot of effort in order to do that. So it's, yes, and dedication.
Sure. And then you've got the likes of, I'm not slagging anybody here now, but you've got like Trini Woodall and people like that, yep, who are absolutely everywhere.
Yep.
Obviously, with the resources financially and in terms of, you know, teams and all the rest of it, they're just everywhere, aren't they? And they can do live stories every 2 hours and all the rest of it. So, yeah. I suppose really what you're saying is, Matt, if somebody is looking to sort of sell a product online, they probably need to do a little bit of research of what's going to be the best platform for them. And as you say, find a group, you know, somebody else who's doing that, and just learn from people who are already doing it.
And I must say that locality-based support groups are absolutely brilliant for selling products. You know, finding 8 or 10 people near where you live and sharing the burden of social media, liking each other's posts, sharing each other's posts, highlighting their posts will help all of you individually to grow your audience much, much quicker than if you were doing it on your own. And also it's so much nicer to have an open house for designer makers based in Chiswick, based in Batley, based in Scotter, you know, and actually you don't actually have to be in the same space, but it looks like you do, and you're 10 times bigger with three times people. So it's supportive, it generates more interest, and somebody in the group is bound to have more skills in something than you, and you are likely to have more skills in something than something in the group, and you will barter, swap and share, and you will move forward so much quicker than if you're doing it on your own.
Absolutely. Now, you've had this organisation, Startup School for Seniors, and you're slap bang in the middle of the pandemic, Mark. From before the pandemic, and we're not out of it yet as we speak in March 2021, has it made a huge difference? From the coal face, as you see it, has it made a huge difference?
Yes. What is that difference, and how permanent is it going to be? I would say, who knows? I think as an event, the pandemic has forced a lot of people to reflect on things as they've struggled, as they've been challenged. And some people have come out of that reflection with a desire to liberate themselves from their old life sometime and take control of their new self, of their new path. And sometimes that includes a new business. So what I have found is that there are more businesses with purpose from people over 40 than there were before. Mm. I teach on a social entrepreneurship MA at Goldsmiths University. So I'm used to working with young people, and many young people, purpose is one of those things that drives their life for many of them. Whereas at our time of life, then we've been looking to create wealth for us and our family. Mm. We've been looking to earn a crust and make sure we have enough for us and our family. We don't feel necessarily that we've had time to look around because we've been busy caring. But I see that more of my clients, my female clients with children, have been pivoting, we love that word, don't we? Have been changing their orientation to include what makes their heart and soul feel good. Many people have chosen the climate as something that is very important to them now. Whatever the climate means, whether that's climate damage, whether it's regeneration, whether it's locality, making sure their community is self-sufficient, whether it's energy, whatever that is. So I think that the pandemic as an event has meant that some people have chosen a life of purpose because, thank goodness, they survived it. Mm. Mm. But on the other hand, I think that remote working is now a thing. We're all going to be working from home, and we know that the pandemic and remote working has set down sex equality, set back sex equality, possibly even decades, in the amount of caring responsibilities and duties that have been taken by women, or not taken by men within the household. And I think that is really a dangerous thing. And I'm hopeful that it's not true, but early statistics, and also from my clients, however well-meaning their partners are, I want to swear at them and bring a quick clip round the ear because I understand the burden that my clients face in addition to this business thing that they're trying to keep afloat or make changes to, as well as who's looking after the kids, what are they eating, why is there... Have a look on the planner. Have a look on the planner. No, the beans are the green things. You know, so it's hopefully that we will quickly be able to recover some of the lost ground that we have there, but also create a new world with flexibility that will suit us, and control that will suit us, and probably more businesses, more small businesses, and more locally based provision will be quite useful with that.
So it sounds like, Mark, that that's one of the silver linings of this toxic mess.
Hopefully. Well, the flexibility, as long as it's not the Amazon flexibility, as long as it's a green woman powered flexibility to do what and when we are able to and feel best to do things.
Yes, yes. Now, with all that you've covered, Mark, it's obvious you bring an absolute chock full of experience to the table. So how did you get there? Give me a brief, I mean, well, we've got limited time with this, but can you sort of give us a bit of a roadmap, to coin a Boris phrase?
Yep, I'm on my third career. My first career, I aborted even before it started, because I got a job in a big corporation before I left university on the middle ground and thought it might be boring. So I left that job before I started it and started in a small electronics company. I trained in software engineering, and actually my first career was around creating call center technology. Being around electronics and computing, and I helped build a unicorn, a company worth $1.5 billion based out of San Francisco sometime in the last century, where I was building the European piece. But then I went back to school and did an MBA and caught startup bug. So I worked in, on, and with, and played with startups. But some of that was around the UK government and helping them understand access to finance for creative businesses. And some of that was in creating boot camps and programs with Nesta, looking at how young people could start their own businesses without any life experience, what support they'd need. But I turned out of that with my own electronics company. What did I know about electronics? Who knows? But I had an electronic company selling in 14 different countries around the world, selling gadgets to help people make the best use of their solar energy. Right. So the Daily Mail didn't like the retail residential solar industry. So there was a time in 2014-15 when 60,000 people lost their jobs in about 3 months. And my company was a victim of that, and our international work didn't help us. So I lost my company. Everybody that worked for me lost their jobs, and I lost, I seemed to lose all of everything that I had gained from the beginning part of my career. So coming into my third career, I decided to do only things which I enjoyed, which I might be good at, and which might give me some joy in some sense. So I've experimented with a number of things, and now, you know, I'm a business coach, and co-founder of the Startup School for Seniors. And I'm here to help people not make the same mistakes that I've made, but make their own and make them faster, quicker, cleaner, cheaper, and towards a direction that they really want. So that's how I got here.
Fabulous, fabulous. And I love the analogies there, Matt. But obviously, going back with the experience that you've had developing in businesses and sort of the corporate side that you worked in as well, and with you being specifically at the coalface now. Now, we're in the middle of the pandemic. There's not a lot of legislation going on business. There is in the financial world, but that's another story. But certainly day-to-day legislation affecting businesses and all the rest of it. Is there any one thing that you think the government should be doing? Because obviously, as we come out of the pandemic, we're looking for growth. And is there anything you think they should do as a priority?
Yes. I think that the government should stop tax on income from letting out spare rooms, which has disproportionately affected women over 50 and their pension deficits.
Yeah, absolutely. So is that the bedroom tax then, Mark?
Yes, that's income from spare rooms.
Yeah.
Which has affected women. But for business, aligning our standards with our largest trading partner is the most important thing for us to do. Along with the pandemic, the situation with Brexit, certainly in, for those viewers outside London, you're going to chuckle, but some 40% of financial transactions has left the City of London. And I am coaching individuals who have been wealthy, but who are finding their wealth is transitory, whose businesses have collapsed. So, that the financial world has certainly affected a lot of people who were very surprised to be there.
Mm. So presumably that could be another story for another podcast, maybe further down the line. Yes, well, we could revisit that. So Mark, thank you for that. There's a load of information there, a load of advice. I've learned something. So I would hope that some of the listeners have learned stuff there. And what I will say is the organisations that Mark mentioned, like the LEPs and all the rest of it, I will put those on the podcast notes. Similarly, the link, if you want to find Mark, I will have his website and contact details there that if you want to get in touch and have a chat. Now, before I let you go, Mark, there's one thing, and it's as tacky as hell, and I make no apologies, but I ask all my guests, if you could go back to the time when you entered the workplace, whether that's 16, 18, 21, what piece of advice would you give yourself?
I would say learn to enjoy networking and learn to be generous with your network, Mark. Not that you're not generous, but learn how to do it effectively. That's one real key piece of advice. Another thing would be to watch, listen, and understand how other people do other things, other roles, other ways of living, because at some time in the future you may need to know that or to show empathy or understanding of that. So be forever learning about people.
F- fabulous, very insightful, profound advice there. And to anybody who's under 45, I do get them. Just take on Mark's advice, because you probably can't go far wrong with that. Anyway, Mark, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for being free with the advice, speaking candidly as well. It's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Una.
Damn good advice from Mark on what to do and what not to do when setting up a business in midlife. I hope it contains something of use to you and helps you to navigate that tricky road that is setting up your own business, regardless of how old you are. As I mentioned, I have included links to the helpful organisations that Mark talked about, and these are on the notes to the podcast, as well as the links to connect with Mark and to hear more about the courses he runs. My sincere thanks go to him for taking the time out to speak to me and for being such an awesome guest. I hope he enjoyed it as much as I did. Thanks also go to you, the listener, for sticking with us and for continuing to listen. Knowing you are there makes this all worthwhile. So, as we gradually come out of lockdown in the UK, I pray that the progress we've made as a country continues, and that as we reach the magic date of the 21st of June, we achieve what the government has promised that we should. But in the meantime, stay safe, well and strong, and I'll see you next month. Take care.